All right. So last week, I began the Christmas series, Christmas message series, with the tree. I started with the tree, and we looked at similarities and contrasts between the Christmas tree and the Christian tree, the cross. And so today, just like the Christmas tree, I'm going to kind of do a similar thing with gifts. So today's message is called The Gifts. And I'm going to focus a little less on gifts of this life, the gifts that we see under the Christmas tree, but I will touch on it a little bit here. And you know, many Christmas trees have lots of gifts, right? Lots of gifts under them. I've been to some people's houses that have gifts that are not wrapped yet. I've been to some people's houses where the gifts are like not under the tree. They probably have a bunch of them, but they haven't wrapped them yet. A lot of them are wrapped, and people have been shaking them, trying to figure out what they are. Have you done that? I just saw you smile when I said that. I think you better check Cameron's gifts. But some people like to shake them, maybe, you know, try to guess what they are. And gifts under the tree are often very, we anticipate that moment, right? Like when you get to that moment where you're going to open the gift, it's like, this is all built up to this moment right here. Like I'm going to open these gifts and I cannot wait to see if what's inside there is what I thought it was going to be. And you know, some gifts will be celebrated, held in high regard. Other gifts are going to be like, eh, whatever, and tossed to the side. And people are going to go on to the next gift. And so Christmas tree is a lot of times the center of attention in a home whenever we're opening. But then when we open gifts, most people could care less about the tree, right? It's kind of like, who cares about the tree? What's under the tree? And some people give gifts because they love to give. Some people just love to receive gifts. I personally love both, giving gifts and receiving them. But I really do enjoy giving way, way more. I really do. But has anybody ever thought about why we give gifts on Jesus' birthday? Has anybody ever wondered that? Just me and Gabe. Like, we're the only two that's ever thought about that. And I'm not getting ready to burst anybody's bubble. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to tell you you can't give Christmas gifts. Don't get worried. Everybody can take a deep breath. Stop sweating. Jason's like, man, there's something I really wanted too. But I'm not going to say that. But with Christmas gifts, you know, I've thought that. Why do we give gifts on Jesus' birthday? Is this something that's okay to do? And just like the Christmas tree, if you go looking for a way to prove that it's not good, or go looking for a way to prove that it is good, you'll find enough evidence to support either case, because it's what you want to believe anyway. And so it's disputed as the what the origin is, just like with the tree is. But there's a few things that the gift giving may have come from, and one of them is certainly pagan festivals, which is where most people will go if they think that it's not okay. But there's two pagan festivals in the week-long Saturnalia, which is when they worship Saturn, the god Saturn, and that's in December, around December 17th through the new year. And so this is a time where there's eating and drinking and worship of this false god Saturn. And then there's this time called the Calends, which is when it ends in the new year. And this is when they would exchange gifts. And it was often tied to the branches, the greenery that decorated the houses during festivals. So it goes along with what I presented last week about the Christmas trees. But just as with the trees, these practices had nothing to do with Christmas. It was another pagan worship, a pagan celebration that was going on. They were worshiping pagan gods around the winter solstice. And so, you know, if you want to go that route, you can. But, I mean, ultimately, it's not necessarily where gifts came from. And they gave these gifts, but they weren't Christmas gifts. Just like they gave, they worship and decorated trees, but they weren't Christmas trees. So again, you can make that case either way. But you could also make the case that Christians started the tradition of Christmas gifts. And Matthew 25:40, Jesus tells us, the king will answer to them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so many of you have probably heard of St. Nicholas before, and he was born in a wealthy family. He was raised as a Christian. His parents died. He inherited considerable sums of money, and he kept none of it. He used his inheritance to assist the suffering, the sick, the poor. He secretly left gifts for people that were in need. He understood the principle of giving that Christ was sharing here in Matthew 25. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I just wanted to give a little bit of my heart. I really don't see a problem with giving gifts. I don't see a problem if you decide not to, either way. But this idea of giving gifts, you know, this idea could have very well sparked from the Bible. It could have sparked from Matthew 25, helping those who are less fortunate than you. Now, your kids aren't usually less fortunate than you, okay? So maybe that's not it. But we got to look at it a few different other ways. And we think about giving gifts. Giving gifts, there's good things about giving gifts. We're blessing others. Sometimes we're providing for needs. We're expressing gratitude. There's the feeling of excitement or joy that comes with gift giving. There's also bad things about gifts. Stressing out on what to give. How many of you been in that boat before? Stressing out on what to give. Sometimes greed is with gift giving, more with gift receiving. Financial struggles are often tied to gift giving, ungratefulness, jealousy, etc. So is it okay to give Christmas gifts? Yes? No? It's really up to you. You can do whichever way you want. I'm saying the Bible doesn't clearly say it's okay to give gifts for Christmas or it's not. But a good guideline would be if a gift causes you to sin, giving gifts causes you to sin, you should probably not do it. Okay, if giving gifts, if you spend so much money that you had to take out a second mortgage on your home to give gifts, you probably really should not do that. Not probably, you should not do that. If you deplete your savings, if you're not able to pay bills because you're giving gifts, you probably shouldn't do it. If you're not able to give to the Lord as you normally would because it's Christmas time and you had to spend more on gifts, that's probably not good. I mean, right? Isn't God first? Is God supposed to be first? And this is not a plug for you guys to give more. It's a plug for you guys not to give more to Christmas, okay? Don't give more to Christmas gifts. But all these things and many more are what we should do. I mean, basically, we need to check our priorities and make sure that Jesus is at the top, just like we should with everything else that we do. And so the heart of gift giving, it's typically to bless others, right? Is that why most of you give? It's to bless others, even if it's your own family. I think that's perfectly fine. It's good to give them something they may not think to purchase for themselves, to give them something they need again, to give them something maybe they don't have the means to purchase. And God gives gifts to his children. You guys realize that? God gives gifts to his children, okay? And we're supposed to be like him, so I don't see any problem with giving gifts to our children. And sometimes those gifts are what you want, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes maybe they're just what you need. And the key is that we got to remember that just as you purchase gifts for a person, okay, if I'm purchasing Xander a gift, I don't just stick it under the tree with no name on it and just like, whoever wants to grab this gift, it's yours, okay? I pick out the gift for him specifically. I put his name on it, and I expect him to open it and use it, right? It's tailor-made, not necessarily made, but tailored for Xander. I picked it out specifically for him, and God is the same way. He gives us gifts, and he has gifts that are specifically for us, okay? Isaiah 9:6 is where I'm going to begin today. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is the greatest Christmas gift ever given to anybody, given to all mankind, the birth of our Savior. What I started with last week, Christmas is about so much more than Jesus being born. It's about a way of salvation being born. And it's a gift to you. So we see right on the very first Christmas, we were given a gift. You see that? On Christmas, we were giving a gift. It's not our birthday, okay? How many of you guys, when your kid was born, like you gave other people gifts? Probably nobody, okay? God does what he wants because he's God. But on the first Christmas, we are given a gift. So is it okay to give on Jesus' birthday? Well, I suppose so. I mean, the Father gave us a gift, the birth of the Savior. But people also have babies on Christmas Day, right? Do the hospitals close down on Christmas Day? Who gives that gift? Do you guys believe that children are a gift from God? Who gives those parents the gift of that child on Jesus' birthday? God, okay? He continues today to give gifts on Jesus' birthday. And so it doesn't matter if we give gifts on Jesus' birthday. I don't believe in that legalism that, you know, you can't give gifts on that day. I do believe it's very, very important that we don't let gift giving overtake Christmas, just like we don't let a Christmas tree and decorations overtake Christmas, because it's about him. It's about his birth coming to this earth. So we just don't ignore him and celebrate his birthday as though he's not present. Okay? If you've done that, today's your day to repent. Lord, I'm sorry for celebrating your birthday without you and leaving you out of it. And so, like, this year for Christy's birthday, we went to Red Lobster. They had the never-ending shrimp. If you guys have never done that, I highly recommend it. And you can go and you can eat as much shrimp as you want. Like, don't get there too close to closing time. You can get there plenty early, wear sweatpants or something if you have to. But it's okay. They don't care. They expect people to wear sweatpants when they're doing that. That may not be true, but I remember as we're driving down there, you know, Christy's like, or maybe it was even when we were eating it, she's like, you know, you guys really made out this year for my birthday. You know, it's my birthday and we're all here eating never-ending shrimp. Like, you know, how did this happen? Like, how did you guys get such a great gift for my birthday? And she was just teasing, giving a hard time. And it was great. I love Christy's birthday. You know, Christy's birthday is great to me. But here's the thing. I enjoyed that meal. I didn't feel bad about it one bit that I enjoyed that meal on her birthday. But do you know what? That was still her day. I still recognize that this is Christy's birthday. I'm not just going to like, hey, kids, let's hit the road, you know, and just leave her at home. Okay. We enjoyed it with her, celebrated her birth. We didn't just ignore her. And we partook in that gift and we loved it. But we included her. She was recognized. She was the center of attention on her birthday. And so it's okay. We can do other things on Christmas. I'm not saying we all have to just come in here and kneel at the altar from like midnight until midnight on Jesus' birthday. But absolutely, make sure we're including him. Make sure that gift giving is not overtaking Christmas. Amen? Okay. So at Christmas, again, a lot of times people give their best gift to their children. And personally, for me, I love and enjoy like seeing their face light up when they open it. I love seeing how they react when they get excited. And whether it's Christmas time or birthdays or any other occasion, parents love to give gifts to their children. And our Heavenly Father loves to give us gifts. If you love to give your kids gifts, which, you know what? Kids, you guys got to realize, Mom and Dad, they sacrifice a lot of stuff to give you gifts. Okay? They do it because they enjoy it. Because they love to give you what you need. Or they love to give you what you want in many cases. And our Heavenly Father is no different in that regard. He loves to give us gifts. Absolutely. He loves to, whether it's just something we need or something we want, as long as it's inside his will. Okay. I'm not saying you ask for a Lamborghini. God's just going to like put it in the driveway tomorrow, but he does love to give us gifts, and he may hold off gifts till unexpected times. But where God's different than us is a lot of times we don't see it, and he gave us the best gift up front. like right off the bat, how many of you give your best gift first on Christmas? My parents always like hid the best one, like made me think I wasn't going to get it or something. That's mean. Like, you don't hide it and like make them think you're not going to get it. But God doesn't do that. Right up front, right off the bat, it's like, bam, here's the best gift that you're ever going to receive. And what I want to point out today, what I want to get to today, is that inside that one gift, there are many more gifts. There are many more gifts that make it even greater, even better than what we know or think about. And we think about this gift, okay? The gift is salvation, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God to us. And it started on Christmas, the first Christmas, with the birth of Christ. So on the very first Christmas, we're given the best gift, like the best gift ever. The birth of a Savior. And what's beautiful about this gift and gifts in general is that gifts are free, right? You don't do anything to earn a gift. You don't do anything to purchase a gift. If you could earn or purchase it, it would not be a gift, right? Then you just bought something. So God gives us the best gift. It's free, something we can't earn, something we can't purchase. And do you ever sit and wonder about how God so freely gave such an amazing gift to us? Like I ponder stuff like this, and you know, I'm not like somebody like I don't ever do anything but think about God. There's a lot of times I probably waste that I shouldn't. But I sit and think about things like this sometimes, like God gave us the greatest gift ever. You know, and we become so numb to it, so used to it. And this wasn't any old gift. This was like the most valuable, most expensive gift ever of all time in all of history, because Jesus was the only one that could pay the price. He's the only one that could pay for that gift to purchase it. And he gave it to us. Isn't that amazing? And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but this is what you were redeemed with, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Okay, before the foundation of the world, this is laid out. But was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who was raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The best gift. God starts with his best. I preached a while back about how God is more. He always has more for you. But he also always starts with his best. Always, because he did it once, and once for all, he started with the best gift. And how many of you have been to a gift exchange where somebody just thinks that they have the best gift and they insist that their gift be open first? Have you ever been to one like that? It's like, I know I got the best thing, like open mine first. Or even, it doesn't even have to be a gift exchange. Maybe a bunch of kids get mom something and they're like, mine's the best, like open mine first. And we see that in, they want to just like blow up the party, like right here, I'm going to give this gift and it's over. Like nobody's going to be able to compete with this. I'm going to give the best gift. And that's how I see this gift of salvation being born on Christmas, the very first Christmas. God was like, it's like he's saying, right here in front of everybody, I'm giving the best gift, game over, checkmate. Like I'm putting it out there. All other gifts are going to fail in comparison to this. And they do. They absolutely do. And so our God, who is a God of more, again, he doesn't just stop with salvation. As you unpackage salvation, you see there's many gifts in this box, which is salvation. by faith in Christ. There's additional benefits or gifts in the box. And so I want to ask, how many of you have ever opened a gift, like maybe you unwrapped it and it was a box, and you look at this box and you're just kind of like, okay, like I don't know why I got that, or okay, that's cool, I'm moving on. And you assume that what was inside it is exactly what the box showed. Has anybody ever been tricked like that? Like you're given something like, why would I even want this? And you just kind of cast it aside. Okay, well, this happened to me when I was about 10 years old. I was 10 years old, 1 month and 4 days when this happened to me. Because it happened on December 25th, 1988. So I'm opening my gifts. There's only one thing that I wanted. Literally, I was 10 years old and I didn't care if I got any other thing as long as I got this one item. It's all I wanted. It's all I talked about for months. And as I'm opening gifts like a wild animal, I'm like tearing through this paper, like paper was probably like all over the place. And I'm tearing through and I get to this one box. I unwrap it and I look at this box. I was very disappointed. It was a box of saltine crackers. A show of hands, how many people have got a box of saltine crackers for Christmas? Jordan, you guys? Okay, well, I feel we'll all counsel one another later and maybe sing some psalms or something, get in a better mood. Okay, but I open this box and I think, crackers? Like, why in the world would my parents buy me crackers? And, you know, I throw it off to the side and I'm opening more gifts and I'm looking and I'm sure that they would have gotten me this gift that I wanted. Like, it's all I want. I told them, I don't want anything else. Just get me that. And I'm looking around. I have no more gifts. And my dad says, you know, something to the effect of, well, why don't you open that box of crackers? Like, you know, open it and see what's in there. And I'm like, I don't want crackers. Why would I open the box? And lo and behold, I opened the box and it was not full of crackers. You ready for this? You got it? Stefan, it was this right here. Jordan versus Bird, one-on-one for the Nintendo Entertainment System. That's what was in the cracker box. It was all I wanted. I didn't want anything else. I didn't want no crackers. But I was so disappointed until I opened the box and I'm like, this is what I wanted right here. This game that I played probably for the entire Christmas break. I don't even know if I slept. I played that game so much. But I had to open the box to see what was inside. Otherwise, I may have never opened that box. If my dad didn't say, maybe you should open the box and see what's in there, I probably would have never opened that. But I probably would have went and stuck it in the pantry. Like, these are for whoever wants them. Because I do not want this gift. But so many times, we assume what's inside and set things aside. And, you know, others are like a little kid, and maybe they get the box and they just play with the box. You guys ever have that? Hopefully, like it, most of you guys' age, you're not just sitting around playing with the box. But you see that with little kids a lot of times. They don't even care what's in the box. They just want to play with the box. And we have to look at salvation and think about salvation like it's in a box. Like, we see this box that says salvation all around the sides, and we're like, I've got salvation. I'll just like set it over here, and I'll just remember that I have it. Like, I know what's in that box. You know, maybe you're somebody who you know, you always like to have crackers as a safety net. Like, I always like to have a box of crackers. You never know when we're going to bust out some soup. Nobody wants to be out of crackers. And maybe you do that with your gift of salvation. It's like, I got it in a box right here. I don't really need to open it, look at it, talk about it, think about it. I'm just going to keep it there just for security in case I ever need it, in case I really get in a bind. It's like, you know, I don't really need it, but it's there. And sometimes we look at salvation like that, like I already have it, and we ignore what's in it. So I want to open the box today, the salvation box, and it's way more amazing than Jordan versus Bird, but that was a pretty cool game. Okay, if nobody's ever played that, I'm sorry. If you're too young to know what that game is, listen, all the games you play now, every one of them fail in comparison to Jordan versus Bird. Okay. Some people are like, I don't even know who Jordan and Bird are. I feel really bad for you guys. But, so let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And this is where the bulk of the rest of the message will come out of. And Romans 5, 1 through 11 says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I'm going to go through this and show the gifts that I see in here. And the first thing right there in verse 1 is the gift of justification. Now these are all gifts that I believe we can pull out of salvation, that I believe we open this box of salvation, we'll see these gifts are included in salvation. But justification, this is the legal term which pictures the sinner before God ready to receive condemnation for the sins that they committed, but instead of being condemned, they are judicially pronounced not guilty. So standing before God Almighty, guilty of sin, and he says, not guilty. That's justification. This is the divine pronouncement of God that we, as believers in Christ, are acquitted from the penalty of sin. Now that's a pretty exciting part of salvation. God's judgment for sin has been removed. He makes us acceptable before God, and it's the pardon of God declaring us righteous through our faith in Christ. Now, it's through faith in Christ. That's where salvation comes, but that's where the justification comes. So today, this morning, if you're here and the devil has you behind the bars of condemnation, listen, this is what we're going to declare to him today, that you have just opened the box of salvation and you receive the gift of justification, therefore being set free. Set free, because you're not guilty anymore. Not. It doesn't mean you're not going to be guilty later. Right now, you receive Christ, you are justified and not guilty, because he's already paid the fine. He's already paid your fine, and your record is wiped clear. It's like when you get a ticket and you go to driving school, like you pay the fine, you take the course, it's not on your record. It's way better than that. But it's kind of like that, okay? It's wiped out. It's not even just that it happened and people can look back on it and they can call you out on it. Only the devil does that, because God has wiped it clear. The second thing also in verse 1 there I see is the gift of peace with God. Now notice it says with God. This isn't peace with men. This is peace with God is a part of salvation. It's in the box. And it means that the barriers of hostility and enmity that separates us from God, barriers like our sin, our spiritual death, lack of a spiritual life, and the fact that God is perfectly holy and just, these barriers are removed by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The barriers are now removed. So not only are you free and you're not guilty anymore, you're not behind bars, okay? You can actually get to God. You can have peace with God. The barrier is no longer there. So when you open up this gift, you can rest assured that God's judgment will not fall on you. That's the peace, okay? It's similar to justification, but justification is the fact that you're not guilty. The peace with God is you knowing that. You being able to go to bed and like, man, God loves me. Like I'm free. I'm not guilty. I'm free. And so today, the root of the troubles of this world, the failures of the government, the absence of money to finance things, the fact that man is at enmity with God is the reason for those things. What men need is not a better government program. It's not more money. What men need is they need peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a part of salvation. It's a gift that's in that box. Third thing is the gift of access to God. See, these all kind of build on one another. But the Greek word here, prosagoge, is the Greek word. Everybody say prosagoge. Say it louder, come on. Prosagoge. Okay, prosagoge, that's what this word is, this word access here. It means access or approach or introduction. It was used of one who gives access or audience to a great king. That's what that word's used for, that it gives you access, introduces you to a great king. So in another passage, the Apostle Paul reminds us that there's one mediator between man and God. Just one, Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrews then also tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find grace as our help in times of need. How? Because through Christ, part of salvation, he has given us access into the very presence of the Almighty. He's given us access. It's a part of salvation, is access to God, that we can come boldly before his throne. Christianity is the way to access God. It's the way to access God. No other faiths access God, only Christianity. That's it. That's not being closed-minded. That's knowing what the Bible says and believing what the Bible says. There's only one way to the Father, through Jesus Christ. And all other religions of the world, they shut man out from God. It's like you can't have access to God. They provide no access. Why? Because they keep man from God by turning them away from Christ, telling them there's other ways, there's other paths, there's other things that you can do. They seek not to come by God by the way of God's Christmas tree, by the cross. The person in the work, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is why the Lord said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So unless you receive his Christmas tree, the cross that we talked about last week, you don't have access to God, because access to God is through salvation. Access to God is through salvation. It's a privilege reserved for those who are in Christ and for those who by faith have received Jesus Christ. Now, if you cry out in desperation, God will hear you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying if you're apart from God, like, wait a minute, so I got to receive Jesus to have access to God, but I don't have access to God if I can't receive Jesus, okay? If you're crying out in desperation, God hears you. He hears you, absolutely. But for you to have this access that you can come boldly before God freely anytime without condemnation, without being judged as an evildoer, having all these other gifts that we've talked about, for that, it's through salvation that we have this free access to God, because it says that we were not at enmity with God anymore. We're not at war with him, but we're a friend of God, right? If you're a friend of me, apart from being in this church, my friends who don't come to this church, they have access to me. Okay, people that are not friends with me, you know, if they're yelling for help and I hear them, I'll go help them. But they don't just have access to me where they can just get a hold of me all the time, right? You guys relate to that? Okay, when you're friends, you have that access. And so third, I want to look at the gift of the hope of the glory of God. And this is in 5 verse 2. It says that we are not a people without hope. When the world is walking around as if there's no hope, the Christian ought to not panic, because we have hope in Christ. We should not panic. What a gift when we consider the times that we live in, that a nation being attacked by terrorism, a nation that's in the midst of a war on terror, it could almost cause a person to lose hope, but it shouldn't if you're a Christian. It's part of salvation, is hope in the glory of God. And so there's this expectation, this one day experiencing ultimate redemption that is coming, of being in God's glorious kingdom in these glorious resurrection bodies without the old sinful nature and the attacks of Satan's kingdom. But right now, while we're dealing with that, while we're on this earth, we have to have hope in the glory of God. Hope that, okay, I know this may be rough, but I know that there's going to be a day that it's going to be better. I know that there's a day that there's going to be no more tears, that there's going to be no more pain and suffering. I know that there's a day, just as we sing sometimes, it's going to be worth it. Okay, that's hope. Okay, it's hope that it's going to be worth it. The next gift is the gift of triumph in tribulation. Tribulation or trouble. And that's in chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. What a marvelous gift that we all need to unwrap and use is this right here. The gift of triumph in tribulation and in trouble. But how often do we put this one on the shelf and not open it? How often do we, like, I'm just going through too much. I can't handle it. You know, I don't know where to turn. I'm losing faith. I don't know what to do. We walk around as Christians sometimes like we're defeated and beat up. And we probably can all relate to this. I'm certain that we can all relate to this. There's times where we walk around like we're defeated. And we as believers, if we're anticipating what I just talked about, the hope of the glory of God, as we walk around anticipating living in this glorious presence, right? We talk about that. This gift reminds us that for the present time, that we can still, right now, live in this fallen world. We can still live in this fallen world where we experience tribulation and trouble because we know that we have a joyous, triumphant Savior. He's overcome the world. Amen? He's overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world and you're in him, then that means you've overcome the world. It means that the situations that we find ourselves in that pull us down, we can handle, right? God doesn't give me any more than he can handle, than I can handle. Absolutely false. God gives you more than you can handle. That's a fact, because if he didn't give you more than you can handle, why would you need him? God does give you more than you can handle, but by the power of Christ in you, you can overcome, you can handle, you can get through, you can triumph in tribulation. And so in this gift, Paul, who's the writer of Romans, Paul has in mind the capacity that God gives us to rejoice in our sufferings through faith in the principles and promises of the Bible and through our walk with the Lord. I mean, this is what he's thinking of. It's not just like through the power of God, I can get through that. Okay, you can tell yourself that over and over. It doesn't mean you're going to believe it, but through the promises, throughout the word of God, it's not just what one person says, the promises throughout the word of God, those are the things that we stand on whenever we're in this situation. So the world, and again, too many of us believers have a hard time looking at affliction, suffering, pain, and like, where's the joy in that? Like, how am I supposed to be joyful? And, you know, the world can't look at it that way because they don't have the hope, first of all. When people ask you that, if they don't have the hope, they don't understand. And we as Christians often fail to experience it. We fail to live in the light of his glory. We fail to rely on the word. Every time I've been discouraged and in despair in my life, guess what? I was trying to do it. I was trying to be the one that's strong and I'm going to get through this. And every time that I've hit my knees in prayer, and I've turned to the word of God, it doesn't mean I felt great. It doesn't mean that, like, this is no big deal. It's nothing. But I tell you what, I was able to deal with it, right? The word of God is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, the Word of God can solve a lot of your problems. The Word of God can bring comfort and peace, prayer. I mean, these are the things that we need to do. We fail to live sometimes as aliens in a foreign country, but that's what we are. You're like, wait a minute, I was born here. It doesn't matter. You're aliens in a foreign country right now because we don't belong here. This is not my home. Heaven is. That's where I'm going. And so we fail to live that way, but we ought to live as though we're in a foreign country and we're on temporary assignment as a representative of Christ, because that's exactly what we are. We're on a temporary assignment. And once you get the idea and you get that in your head that this is temporary and you're just doing the work of Jesus Christ, it makes it a lot easier to deal with too. Okay, so remember that. We're on a temporary assignment from the Lord Christ. And then the last gift I have is the gift of the love of God and the Holy Spirit. And that's in verse 5:5, Romans 5:5. And I want to look at 1 John 4:9-10 to expound upon that just a little bit. And it says that in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the love of Christ. That's the love of the Father in salvation, that he sent Jesus in our place to take upon that wrath on himself that we were deserving of. Grasping God's love so that it gives us this assurance and removes fear and removes doubt and shame when we fail and in all that we do, and so that it gives us this significance and this meaning to life, is very much a work of the indwelling Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of God inside us that we can really grasp what is the love of Christ. You know, we hear about the cross. We hear about what Jesus went through. And I think because we've heard it so many times that it's like a fable. It's like a story, right? We've seen the movies, and the movies don't do it justice. But, you know, praise the Lord that people have tried their best to depict that. But the only way that we can really understand that display of love is by the Spirit of God inside of us revealing that to us. Like, how amazing. I mean, you think about, like, the most caring, loving gesture that anybody's ever made for you in your life. Think about whatever it is. And that is nothing. That is absolutely nothing compared to the love that God showed us on that cross. And so we have to seek the Spirit of God. Lord, show me this gift of love, because so often we forget it. And I believe that's why we can have days where we're filled with anger and hate and judgment, why we treat others poorly. Because guess what? If we really, and I'm speaking to myself as well, if we really understood the love of God, really understood, I don't think we'd treat other people that way, right? I believe that's true. I believe that it's true. If we really understood, that we wouldn't treat other people that way. So thinking about gifts and this package, as we open this box of salvation, we see all these other gifts, these other things that God has put in there with salvation, that we wrap it as salvation, that's it. Maybe you set it on that shelf because you don't think you need that. As we look at these specific gifts, I think about it like a gift bag with tissue paper in it. And especially like kids. It's great giving kids a gift bag with tissue paper and a bunch of little toys. And how many of you have ever received a gift, or maybe you've given one and seen one like that, and it's like you're pulling out like gift after gift, and like, you know, some of them may be small things. Maybe it's like some Skittles or something, and you're just like pulling out little things one after another, and you're like, man, how many gifts are in this thing? And right about the time when you're done, like whoever gave you the gift, they're like, I think there's a couple more in there. And you're like, are you kidding me? There's a couple more in here? This is great. This is the best gift ever. That's how God is, okay? He has this gift bag for us, and it's like, you keep pulling out of there, there's like endless supply of gifts in there. And sometimes we think we've got to the end of it. And guess what? If you think that God has nothing else for you, you need to keep digging. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. If you think that right now, this right where I'm at, this is all that God has for me, you are wrong. God is saying, keep digging. Like, keep digging in the bag, because there's more in there. And, you know, so often we get to where, you know, I think we get a little bit tired of digging in the bag too. It's like, you know, how many of you have had like a 1 or 2 year old for a birthday party? It's like, if you can get them interested at all, by the time they pull a couple things out of that bag, they're like, nope, not happening. I'm refusing to do any more. Okay, how many of you are like that? How many of you, maybe God's got gifts in the bag for you and you don't even want to work for it anymore. I don't even want to try to find out what else is in this bag because you're requiring something of me. Okay, I got to read the word. I got to pray. I got to do all these things that are so difficult. I don't want to do them. I don't care what else is in the bag. You can have it. You can have the bag. Okay, we can't get in that mindset because when we do, I don't think we understand how precious these gifts are. They're gifts that were picked out just for you. They're gifts that were made for you specifically. And God gives us many gifts, but it's our responsibility to open the gifts. It's our responsibility to receive the gifts. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. To those who received him, they get the right to become children of God. Okay? Not everybody around us is a child of God. You guys, I just burst somebody's theology bubble right there. Not every person alive is a child of God. Every person alive was created by God. But those who receive Christ are given the right to become children of God. There's a difference between him creating us and us being sons and daughters, because that came through the adoption, through being a joint heir with Christ. So to receive something is to take into one's possession. Like, now it's mine. Like, I'm going to receive this microphone. It means, like, now it is mine. I have possession of it. And so when we receive Christ, he may have died for all, but you have to actually receive it. It's different than somebody saying, like, hey, I got you that microphone over there. And then I just like, okay, that's cool. And I just leave it right there and I walk out of here. You know, I could stake a claim to it all I want, but the next time I come here, it might not be here. Somebody else might take it. But God says, I gave my life for all of you, for every one of you, but you have to receive it. You have to receive it to be a child of God. You have to take it into your possession. It doesn't matter if you know that it's available. Listen, knowing that it's available is not enough. Knowing what Christ did is not enough. It's receiving it that we may be free. And knowing that it's offered to us as a free gift, no strings attached, this is for you, take it. Receive it. Take it into your possession. And again, we're talking about the greatest gift in all of mankind, in all of history, all of the world. This gift is free. Salvation, the gift of God. And I think about sometimes why the church is so empty. And we have a good showing here today. I'm not saying necessarily here today, but in general, the church in America, the church specifically in America, is so empty. If we were to rent the Phillips building or some neutral place like that, and we were to plaster everywhere, free gift, the most expensive gift in the world, absolutely free, and we have enough for everybody that wants to show up and get one. Like, you don't even tell them what it is. The most expensive gift in the world, and if you come and receive it, take possession of it, it's yours, free, no strings attached. It's a gift. You can have it. and you won't need anything else for the rest of your life. It'll be the only thing that you need. How many people do you think would show up and line up for that gift? Dude, you think Black Friday is bad? I mean, back Black Friday, people are paying for stuff. And they're fighting and getting in line, camping out the night before. How many people would line up for that? That's what we have. That's the gift that we have right here in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Where's the line? Really, where's our line at? It should be out the door. It should be out the door and wrapped around the parking lot and down the highway. We have a pretty good line out there for the clothing giveaway, and praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we were able to serve the community in that way. But how much longer of a line should we have for the gift of God, salvation? We ought to have a line for that. And, you know, there's so much more included. The things we just talked about, justification, peace, access to God, hope, triumph, love, and so much more, many more things that I don't even have the time to list off. We have all the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, the gifts of the Spirit. And who wants to receive gifts from God today? Okay? The list or the line ought to be out the door. And the list is longer than what we can name or number. Jason, if you guys would come up. So today I believe that some people could get some things that they want, and some people may get some things that they need. And it's just like on Christmas morning when you open up those pajamas and you're like, okay, I got 18 pairs of pajamas. This is awesome. You know what? Sometimes your parents buy you stuff that you need, and sometimes they give you something that you want, and God treats us the same. He gives us things that we need, and occasionally he'll give us things that we want. But the key is that God gives those gifts that are tailored for you, right? The gifts that God has for you, they're for you. Josh, you realize that God is not going to give you a gift that says Lena on it? You realize that? You realize that, Quentin? God's not going to give you a gift that says Robbie on it? He knows your name. He knows what you need. And I believe that too often, we want somebody else's gift, or we got a certain gift in mind. Maybe we want Jordan versus Bird, and every other gift, we just throw it to the side like, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. But God gives you the gifts that he knows that you need that are tailored just for you. And so today I want to open up this altar. If I can get Ben, if you would come down, and Christy as well. What I want to give people the opportunity to do, if you want to come down today and maybe you've received salvation, but you've never opened that box, you're like, man, I've been missing out on justification. I've been missing out on peace with God. I've been missing out on experiencing his love, on being filled with his Spirit. If you've been missing out on those things and I'm ready to receive whatever gift God has for me today, and many of those that I didn't mention, if you want to receive something today from the Lord, I'm believing that we can pray in faith that you'll receive whatever God has for you. It's not by the power of our hands. It's by the power of the Spirit of God. And so I'm going to open up right now. If you guys want to receive prayer, I'm going to ask you to come down and line up with one of us.